Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Epac Durable Limited Q4 FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manan Goyal from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q4 and FY 2026 results conference call of Epac Durable Limited. Today, we have with us senior management represented by Mr. Bajrang Bhutra, Chairman and Whole-time Director, Mr. Ajay D.D. Singhania, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Rajesh Kumar Mittal, CFO. Now, I hand over the call to the management for their initial comments on the quarterly and annual performance. Then we will open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Rajesh, sir.
Thank you, Manan. Thank you and good morning, everyone. Welcome to our call for the fourth quarter of the financial year 2026. I would like to thank ICICI Securities for arranging today's earnings call. The key highlights for the quarter four 2026 and the financial year ended 31st March 2026 are as follows. For the fourth quarter under review, revenue from operations stood at 591 crore rupees, which declined by 8% around on year-on-year basis. The EBITDA for the quarter was rupees 25.8 crore, decreased by around 64.2% year-on-year basis. The EBITDA margin reported at 4.37% as against 11.21%. The net profit was 2.4 lakh rupees. For the financial year under review, revenue from operations stood at rupees 1,894 crore, which declined by 12.7% on year-on-year basis. The EBITDA for the year was rupees 113.9 crore, decreased by around 27.7% on year-on-year basis. The EBITDA margin reported at 6.01% as against 7.26%. The net profit was rupees 3.3 crore. During the fourth quarter, the company has recognized incentive income amounting to 21.78 crore under the REAPS 2024 scheme based on the management assessment of compliance with the prescribed eligibility condition. This also includes an amount of rupees 4.96 crore pertaining to the financial year 2025-2026, and an amount of rupees 16.82 crore pertaining to the earlier periods. During the fourth quarter, the company reversed previously recognized PLI income amounting to rupees 32.42 crore accrued during the nine months ended December 31st, 2025. Now I would request our Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Ajay D.D. Singhania, to brief you on the operational highlights. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rajeshji, and once again, good morning, everyone. FY 2026 was a challenging year for room air conditioner industry, impacted by multiple temporary external factors, including unseasonal weather conditions, general inventory recalibration, commodity inflation, and demand deferment across parts of the industry. Despite these near-term headwinds, we remain focused on strengthening our long-term business fundamentals through diversification, localization, customer expansion, and strategic capacity creation. Q4 also witnessed temporary pressure in RAC segment due to revised BEE norms, uneven seasonal offtake, and elevated inventory levels across the industry, which resulted in higher promotional intensity and discounting during second half of the year. While these factors impacted industry-wide profitability and utilization levels, we continued to execute our long-term strategic priorities. During the fourth quarter, we added five new customers with supplies already commenced, taking our overall customer additions to 17 during the FY 2026 and our total active customer base to 72. This reflects continued strengthening of our customer relationships, increasing market acceptance across categories, and our focused efforts towards reducing customer concentration risk. Our diversification strategy continues to progress well. While RAC segment witnessed approximately 25% year-on-year decline during the quarter, our SDA, LD, and component business continued to demonstrate encouraging momentum. The SDA and LD segment delivered robust growth of approximately 53% YoY, supported by healthy order inflows across both existing and newly launched products. Demand trends in categories such as air fryers continue to remain encouraging, and we see increasing customer engagement across multiple product categories. Our component business also delivered strong performance with approximately 50% YoY growth during the quarter, supported by increasing localization requirements and deeper customer integration. We continue to see strong long-term opportunities in heat exchangers, injection molded components, PCBs, and copper components as domestic manufacturing ecosystem evolves further. We believe our continued investments toward backward integration component capabilities will not only improve operational efficiencies over time, but also support higher value addition, improve supply chain resilience, and broader participation across adjacent manufacturing opportunities. We are also pleased to share that investments made towards Hisense partnership through our wholly owned subsidiary, ePac Manufacturing Technologies Limited, had become operational since Q4 of FY26, making another important milestone in our long-term manufacturing expansion journey. As operations scale up progressively over the coming quarters, we expect the subsidiary to gradually contribute towards revenues, product mix enhancement, and future growth opportunities. During FY26, we continued to invest in strategic capacity expansion, localization initiatives, new product categories. During Q4 FY26 alone, we incurred a CapEx of approximately 79 crores, primarily towards washing machine capacity expansion and components manufacturing capabilities. The new greenfield facility at Bhiwadi is also expected to commence meaningful contribution over the coming quarters. While the margin profile during FY26 remained below our earlier expectations due to lower RAC utilization, elevated industry discounting, commodity inflation, forex volatility, we believe the structural drivers for long-term margin improvement through localization, backward integration, and scale efficiencies remain intact. During the quarter, the company reversed previously recognized PLI income accrued during the first 9 months of FY26 based on evolving assessment and ongoing procedural review. Excluding this one-time impact, the operational performance during Q4 FY26 provides a more normalized reflection of the underlying business performance during the quarter. The company continues to engage with relevant authorities regarding the matter and has submitted the necessary representations. At this stage, management believes it is prudent to await further clarity. On the positive side, we are pleased to share that during Q4 FY 2026, the company recognized incentive under the Rajasthan Investment Promotion Scheme, RIPS, based on management's assessment of the compliance with prescribed eligibility conditions. We believe this represents an important milestone in strengthening of the long-term competitiveness of our manufacturing ecosystem. The current proposal pertains to phase one investments, and we continue to evaluate further expansion opportunities under subsequent phases as a part of our long-term growth strategy. Looking ahead, early trends for FY27 appear relatively more encouraging compared to FY26, supported by improved customer conditions and normalization in industry inventory levels. At the same time, we remain focused on disciplined execution, improving utilization level, scaling newer categories, and strengthening operational efficiency. With a diversified portfolio, expanding manufacturing ecosystem, improving localization capabilities, and growing customer engagement, we believe ePac Durable remains well-positioned for sustainable long-term growth and value creation. With this, we now open the floor for Q&A session.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Balasubramanian with Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, the PLI reversal was due to evolving assessment and ongoing procedural review. Can you specify, was this disqualification event like a localization shortfall, export target miss, or any sales target within the specific state?
Mr. Bala, good morning. Regarding the PLI reversal, this is based on certain commitments made by the company and signed when we applied for the PLI incentive. There were two criteria, one related to investments to be done in the previous year, and second was a 5x growth in incremental revenue for the applicable components. So during the first three quarters, the company had done the proper, as we have been following the practice in the previous years as well, the company had been following the same practice and recognized the benefits as being achieved. Whereas in end of the quarter four, we realized that due to the sales shortfall, there is certain anticipated fall in achieving the incremental revenue growth. However, the incremental investment and capex was already been fulfilled, but incremental revenue growth is something which is being still evaluated and verified by the auditors. Hence, we took a proactive decision not to recognize the benefit as of now, and also to involve with the relevant governmental agencies and get further clarifications. Till we get the clarification, the company stands that we will not recognize it until it is properly, the due diligence is complete.
Okay, sir. Sir, under Hisense JV, I think we have planned a front load washing machine line, so which is planned annual capacity. So I just want to understand how much the annual capacity and what is the target utilization in FY27.
So in Sri City, we have two operational facilities. One is the EPEC Durables own facility where we manufacture the components, and the second facility by the name of EPEC Manufacturing is the unit which is dedicated to Hisense manufacturing for air conditioners. The facility started operations in the last week of March 26, and since then the AC production for the Hisense design products has been scaling up over last 2.5 months now, almost 2 months now. The other set of products to be manufactured there, which include the front load washing machine, as you said, is something which is currently under trial, the front load washing machine which is under trial. And we are currently expecting the production to commence towards the mid of Q2.
Okay, sir. Also, my third question, I think we have seen a sharp increase in under inventory levels, nearly 837 crores. So, like, how much raw material for the Hisense JV startup versus finished goods awaiting BA transition clearance? And if you could, when we can expect the normalization of inventory days as well as payable days also nearly increased to 130-140 levels, which is usually nearly 90-100 days.
Mr. Bala, I'm sorry, I didn't get the first question. First, let me answer you on part of the inventory days, the question around inventory days and the conversion cycle. So the current working capital deterioration in FY26 reflects basically three factors. First, we built inventory in anticipation of the strong summer season for this year. At the same time, one of the very key components which goes into our product and is currently largely import dependent is compressor, for which the BIS was expiring in second week of April. Hence, to keep manufacturing for the entire season on the peak season of April, May, June, Q1 of this year, a lot of inventory has to be created, since the local ecosystem is not or the local manufacturing capacity is still not enough to meet the industry demand. Hence, the elevated inventory what we see today as of March ending is basically mostly of the imported components which has been built up to support the Q1 of this year. That's primarily with regards to the inventory levels. And the first question around Hisense is not clear to me. If you can just please repeat.
Yes, sir. Actually, we have 837 crore inventory. How much the raw material for the Hisense JV startup compared to finished goods awaiting PA transition clearance?
Okay, so I don't have the company-wise inventory data ready with me as of now. But yes, largely that I said, the 827 crores of total inventory is there overall in the entire ecosystem put together. And that's roughly
approximate total, approximate values in percentage terms also fine.
50 to 60 crores? Yeah, 50 to 60 crores at max. But this is a very approximate figure.
Okay, sir. Okay, got it. Thank you.
Sorry, the audited number is 13 crores, I'm sorry.
And Bala, just to confirm this, you are saying that AP days has increased to 130 from 90 earlier. I'm sorry. And actually you see that with respect to the AP days, which has gone up by around 50 days, as you see that inventory days has gone up. This is parallel actually. When you are buying the inventory, there are the trade payables also standing in the books of account. If you will see that inventory days has also gone up in proportion to the trade payable days.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Tanay Shah with DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, Tanay.
Hi. So, just wanted to understand the ongoing summer outlook, right? For players like us in the MS space, you know, how is demand panning out for us? What are the current inventory levels, and what kind of pressures are we seeing on our margin profile?
Okay, thanks, Tanay. So, the outlook or the current status of the industry, if we talk about, so post the stabilization in the Q4, which is largely Feb and March, April onwards, and especially from mid of April, the overall tailwinds in terms of and everything has been very strong, and most of the limited inventory levels, what has been the pain area for EPAC durable as well as the whole industry over the last 12 months or so, has now eased out, and we are seeing a very strong pull in the trade, and so the real sale-in in terms of liquidation and further fresh manufacturing orders have started pouring in, and we see definitely a very strong Q1 currently, and I think it will be prudent to say that in line with the industry expectation or what we have been hearing over the last 2 weeks in terms of the results being declared by most of the other peers in the industry is that a growth of 15% approx is what the industry is expecting, at least in this Q1. And definitely, EPAC believes that this is what is in line with our internal expectations as well.
Understood, sir. So growth of 15-20% in terms of volume is something what the industry is looking at, but even the value itself has sort of gone up. So we've been able to take the price hikes which are required from a brand's perspective to be passed on. And just to that, I wanted to understand if there is any pressure on our margin profile given the costs are continuously increasing.
So two things here, Tanish, definitely yes, a lot of commodity increase and FX increase is what has impacted the industry. On top of it, again, the BEA revision is another factor. So overall, the costs have gone up, and a lot of this cost is what has already been passed on to the brand customers from us, and we believe that even the brands have further passed on in parts or in several stages or phases to the market. So yes, there has been a significant increase in the overall cost and price, and that has also been passed on from our side.
Sir, just any number which you would like to put up in terms of the current inventory levels at the channel?
So, Tanay, broadly speaking, based on our discussion with the industry leaders, the industry, the inventory currently in the trade is normalized, and the type of sell-in, or what we say sell-in means the sales from the brand to the distributor or the channel has picked up significantly. So just to throw in some number which could be very approximate, I believe the trade inventory plus the brand inventory put together as of May opening, if we talk about, would be anywhere between 4-4.5 million. That's the max kind of inventory I can anticipate, which means we are slightly below the expected inventory norms, looking at a very significant ramped up summer season.
Understood, sir. So my second question is with respect to the Hisense JV. While you know, many congratulations on sort of operationalizing the plant, just wanted to understand, given that, you know, just recently there was you know, news about China sort of going a little hard on the companies wanting to sort of scale up in India, and have sort of, you know, tightened their supply norms, their knowledge norms as well. Any impact on, you know, our JV with Hisense to sort of scale up in India?
relationship with Hisense, we can call it like a strategic tie-up, wherein all the investments in the manufacturing facility currently has been done by EPEC Durable. And this facility currently is more of, let's say, a tech transfer, wherein the tools and designs have come to us and the investment has been done by EPEC Durable solely. And we are supplying to Hisense to market the products both in India as well as to explore further opportunities of supplying to the overseas market, especially the Middle East and African. We don't see any impact in terms of any policy change or any so-called the government initiative, the Chinese government stand on any such thing. Rather, we see that Hisense is definitely becoming a lot more aggressive or ambitious, would be the correct word, ambitious in taking a significant position or market share in India, and the way they have scaled up the overall distribution channel, the network, is a clear indicator of their intent to be one of the market leader and a dominant force in times to come. So they are definitely increasing their overall penetration, increasing their product portfolio. Starting with TV, now they have significantly ramped up air conditions. Going forward, Q2, Q3, when they are eyeing to further increase their penetration with both top load and front load washing machines, and then subsequently add more products. So they are going very steady and very focused in India market, we can say.
Sure, sir. So just one last question. The CapEx number for FY27?
So again, Tanay, based on our last year's guidance to the market, we had budgeted a total capex of approximately 470 crores in 18 to 24 months, out of which 300 crores is what we have capitalized till end of March, and there is a balance of almost 170-200 crores, which we are strategically looking to invest in ramping up capacities, primarily both in Bhiwadi as well as in 360, and looking at newer product categories to enter. So this is something we would say 170-200 crores is something which is planned over the next 9 to 12 months, the rest of this financial year.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you so much for answering my questions and wishing you all the best for FY27.
Thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Pratap Maliwal with Mount Infra Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes, Pratap.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So I'm just trying to look at our business from a 2 to 3 year perspective. So we've got our current revenue base of approximately 1900 to 2000 crores, but we also have the Hisense revenues coming in. So over 2 to 3 years, do you see our revenues kind of doubling because of the aggressive target that we have for Hisense? And then we'll also be moving in line with the industry based on the run rate business. So over 2 to 3 years, given the scale, can our revenues actually double?
Thanks, Gautam. Yes, for players like us in MSME, the OEM and ODM ecosystem, and with strategic partnerships, the one we have with Hisense, which has an aggressive growth plan, the categories we are into and the way we are expanding our overall portfolio and increasing our customer penetration, definitely that's the intent and that's the kind of overall outlook we internally have. And over the past the previous earnings call and every time we have shared a similar vision. So here we echo our shared vision with you, and definitely that's the way ahead we are looking to grow. A year of ups and downs definitely we believe are learning, a part of the learning for us, and they make us more resilient and further help us strengthen our resolve to grow better and grow stronger.
Yes, sir. So as you said that in Q1, the industry would expect maybe a 15% kind of a growth. That's for all players involved, so we should get our share of that. Now, there was a notification in SPEP that said that phase one of our CapEx has been operationalized, I believe, 0.75 million units at the Hisense facility. Then going forward, Q2, Q3, we'd be operationalizing the washing machines and television. So is there any kind of outlook for FY27 at least that you can give us based on our Hisense numbers alone, what kind of scale-up we can see here, so we can get an idea of how EPAC can actually outperform maybe some of the other peers?
In Gautam, we have historically refrained from giving any quantitative numbers, both in terms of subsidiaries or the parent company. But yes, broadly as a guideline, we are in line that considering an industry growth of 15% around, EPAC would definitely outgrew the industry growth, basis that the way we have diversified our customer portfolio and the way we have reduced our concentration risk with any single large customer. So yes, definitely we are on the right path to outgrow the industry, and especially with the dedicated facility for Hisense, which is at extremely low level currently, so that will help us significantly improve our growth. And with the new product categories both in SD and LDA segment, yes, the kind of ambitions we are talking about, it is a similar kind of growth doubling in medium term, and in short term effort, yes, outpacing the industry.
Okay, and just one last thing, sir, you had given an interview, I think, end of April, where you had said that we've been able to take on the price hikes and pass it on to the brands. Now, a large peer in the similar space had said that the FY27, they're looking at some margin pressures, maybe 50 to 100. So, are we expecting any margin pressure going ahead, because our margins have been quite volatile? So, what kind of understanding can we get on the margin going ahead?
So again, Ms. Gautam, in terms of margin, yes, we have been largely able to pass on the commodity hikes to the brand customers. But under the current geopolitical situation where the commodities and FX are changing on a daily or an hourly basis, you please appreciate that it is not possible for us to anticipate the upcoming increase and pass it on in advance. Even the customers are very resilient and they are also thorough in their analysis. So there could be lag in terms of passing on. But yes, broadly and largely we have passed on. So this is why I believe that 500 basis or 1000 basis point of stress or strain on the margin for a shorter term could be there. But in the longer term, yes, typically we pass on all the cost increase to the customers.
Okay, sir. Thanks for taking my this.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Arshia Khosla with Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just in a continuation with previous participants' question, how much price increase have you already taken?
Thanks, Arshia. So the price increase is something which has been done in last two quarters, let us say, starting December, and then because of the commodity hikes, then again in January because of the regulation change, the upgradation of products from the old rated to the new BE rated, and then again mid-March because of again the geopolitical situation. So there have been multiple price increases which have been negotiated at different points in time with the customers. Overall, again, a very broad figure could be as of end of March, the overall price increase in the product which has been passed on due to both the reasons, the revised commodities as well as the revised rating levels, is 15 to 20%, varying between model to model. And based after that, again in April and May, then there has been another price increase. And I believe that a similar kind of price increase has been passed on from brands to the market as well.
Understood. That's helpful, sir. And I'm sorry, I just missed it on gross margins front. Do we think that now the worst is behind and we'll be able to maintain these margins, or can we see more contraction on that?
So gross margins, I will again assure, broadly, we have been maintaining in the past also. So our gross margins overall are at the EBITDA level, if we talk about, barring the one-time adjustments done in Q4, are largely been stable at 7.5 to 8.25 is what has been the stability number for us over the last 4 years historically. And the type of diversification in terms of the product diversification and concentration risk reduction we are doing, and the depth of the component ecosystem we are entering, we believe that in medium to short term, medium to long term, these margins are bound to improve. So barring a one-time correction, we are very confident that these margins are largely stable, and in medium to longer term, these are going to improve.
Got it. That's helpful, sir. And sir, what will be your capacity utilization for REC in FY26?
In FY26, the capacity utilization would be roughly, I mean, compared to previous year, it has dropped by almost 20-odd percent. So that's the kind of drop we had earlier. It was anywhere at 45 to 50% on an average annualized basis. So the last year, it would be at 40-odd percent. So that's again a very broad number, but yes. So this is an annualized basis, whereas on the seasonal utilization, if you look at, The previous years, it was close to 90%, especially for Q1 and Q4 period, which are the peak season period. So the last year, they had dropped significantly to, let's say, around 75% for the peak period of Q1 and Q4.
Thank you, sir. And my last question would be on the compressors front. So we are sitting with optimum inventory for compressors, or are we going to see some shortage for this year as well as next year?
So on compression front, again, Aisha, what we had for, especially in terms of the inventory level, we had covered us ourselves with the inventory for the current season, that primarily till June or July is what we had covered up based on our output. Going forward, there are two conditions. One, the government has now increased the relaxation on import basis. And there was circular mid of first week of May, 8th May, I believe, wherein the import has been allowed up to 30%, approximately 30-odd% of import is allowed. This is the quantity which was imported in FY24. So that gives some relaxation to the industry, and at the same time, the domestic capacity ramp up and increase is on the way, and out of the four leading players who have established capacity in India, they are gradually increasing their capacity. So we expect that the capacities available for the next season would be sufficient, including the 30% of imports allowed.
Got it. That's helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pawan with ICICI Bank. Please go ahead. Pawan, please go ahead with your question and kindly unmute your line in case if you are on mute. Since there's no response from the participant, we move to the next question that comes from Abhishek Agarwal with Prithvi Finmart. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, first of all, I would like to appreciate the effort of the management and the way we are steering to the company for a long-term perspective. First thing on the, I think in 2024, we have guided some revenue target of around 5,000 crore. That we understand that 25 has not gone the way we have thought. Are we still stick with the 5,000 crores of target in 28 or 29, whatever?
So, thanks, Abhishek. Yes, so I think the previous participant in Gautam had a question around the same in terms of the growth aspirations the company has, and we still reiterate that yes, barring a year of uncertainty in the trade or the disruption we have faced as an industry, as a company in FY25-26, we still remain very confident of a positive growth and outpacing the industry growth, and we still believe that our vision of achieving 5,000 crores around in next 2 to 3 years is something which is definitely achievable, and this is what we strive for.
Great, sir. And so what asset turn we can expect the capex we have done or we are going to do? Okay, means what capex we have planned as of now?
So Abhishek, again, there are two things to look at here. Compared to FY25, wherein the asset turn was approximately 3.2, in the current FY26, it has deteriorated to almost 2.6 around. Silver lining here is that the capex of approximately 300 crores, what we have done in last four quarters, is specially done to ramp up capacity and capture the opportunities and to help us also take on our intent to diversify the product portfolio. So all these intents and all these increase in capex are in the right direction, and we are already seeing the fruits the way we have approximately 50% increase in revenue of the non-AC segment. So with the continued growth, which will outpace the AC growth, we are very positive that the asset turn is bound to improve beyond 3.2, and we are looking to achieve around asset turn of 4 in the medium to longer term.
Okay, sir. And sir, in this year, this financial year, we have added around 17 new clients. So how many customers we have added in the RAC segment?
So again, Abhishek, since we are bound by certain signed NDAs not to disclose the names and the categories in which we have added them, but yes, the 17 new customers, broadly, 5 of them are large multinationals and established customers for the cooling appliances, and the others are significant players against among the top 10 players for the small domestic appliances. So that's a large breakup of the 17 new customers we have added.
And so my last question on the net effect on the one-off item, if we see that one is the reversal of the PLI benefit, and second, on the 21 crore somewhere we have accounted to the RIPS scheme.
Yes.
So I think net effect on the net profit level, it will be around 11 to 12 crore, correct?
Yes.
I'm correct in that sense?
Okay, so again, two things, Mr. Abhishek here. First of all, we want to be very clear and precise. The reversal of 32.42 crores of the previously accrued PLI incentive, the total eligibility for financial year was roughly 56.5. So of which we had only accrued roughly 32 crores, which means there was an additional amount of 24 crores available for us to be incentive available us for quarter four to be taken, which we had traditionally been doing in the previous years. So we not only lost 32.42 crores, but currently we have not recognized the entire 56.5 crores. So that's the quantum. So against this 56.5, we have only recognized 21 crores of additional TLI. So the overall difference still remains around 35-36 crores.
Okay, done, sir. This is from my side. All the best, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Pawan with ICICI Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. My question is, given the ongoing transition to BEE-rated air conditioners, does the company foresee any risk of inventory write-offs or markdowns on older non-compliant AC models? And if so, has any provision been made for the same in the current or upcoming quarters?
Thanks, Pawan. So, in terms of old BEE-rated products, basis the BEE guidelines, the company doesn't hold any inventory of old-rated products on its own. Whatever was produced was shipped out latest by 31st of December 2025. So after 31st December 2025, the company is not holding any inventory of old-rated products because it is not allowed to be held by the manufacturers, and it was largely available with the brand's warehouse or with the traders. And again, basis the BEE norms, it cannot be sold beyond June, I believe. So by end of June, the entire inventory of the old BEE-rated products would either get liquidated or has to be re-rated again by the brands or the traders. So on this front, as an OEM ODM, EPAC has no liability to be accounted for or to be recognized.
Okay, thank you, sir. Sir, I have one more question. Like, auditors have issued a qualified opinion citing a disputed trade receivable of 19.61 crore. So can management provide more details on this dispute? What is the nature of the receivable, the counterparty, and expected timeline for resolution?
So please go ahead.
So, Pawan, in terms of the reservations or being highlighted by the qualifications being raised by the auditors, this especially pertains to one of the cases wherein the receivable is from a customer called Gangnam, accounted to 19.61, which is it currently or has not been paid by these. The matter is subject is we have already filed legal complaints, and the company still believes that the receivable is good and company has strong chance to recover it, and the customer also has the capacity to pay it or is worthy or has the net assets to actually pay it. And hence we have given the same opinion to the auditors as well. And since the matter is currently under legal jurisdiction, any further amount of information cannot be shared on it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir, and wish you all the best for fiscal year 27.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Keshav Lahoti with HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So as you highlighted, you know, Q1, the volume growth can be 15-20% in RSE side, and you have taken the price hike also of, you know, around 15-20%. Fair to assume Q1 on the RSE, and that way the revenue growth should be upwards or at least 30%?
Thanks, Keshav. Again, yes, the price hike we shared is correct, and the industry outlook of growth in the current quarter is also in line with our overall expectation of growth for the current quarter. So largely we are in line with the revenue growth or the anticipated industry growth. So, but giving any numbers currently would be not right, but yes, we definitely foresee a growth in the industry and that kind of growth to be replicated in EPEX performance as well. So current order book is strong, and we are definitely seeing a recovery path as compared to the last year.
Got it. As you highlighted, the higher cost is getting passed on. Is it entirely passed on, or will we be seeing some margin pressure for next few quarters?
So there is always a time lag, Keshav, in terms of passing on the price increase and when it is actually realized. Especially the volatility around Forex is something which is highly unpredictable, which definitely something of a greater concern. But yes, commodity hikes are passed on every quarter, and we have been following this practice. And in case there is any force majeure wherein there is a requirement to pass on the price increase even mid-term, is something which is always negotiated and accepted by the customers. So yes, the price increases are largely passed on. There could always be a lag in when it is passed on and when it is actualized.
See, the silent means what sort of margin pressure can we see in Q1 because of lag effect, and possibly Q1 margin will get normalized due to electrification?
So we will see some improvement in improvement in material margins as compared to Q4 definitely. But on a Y-on-Y basis, if we compare Q1 of this year to Q1 of last year, we will still see some lag in terms of passing the price increase.
Understood. Thank you. Very helpful.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Siddharth with Tusk Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Good morning, everyone. So my question is regarding the compressor side. So what percentage of imports currently for the compressor are we doing, sir? And domestically, what is that percentage that we are sourcing for compressors?
So Siddharth, currently in the calendar year 25 or from the financial year 25, the amount of compressors imported in India were typically at 45% to 50% of the entire consumption. So that's a broader number for the industry. And of which then again we have seen ramp up in capacities by multiple players, including Hailey, GMCC and Daikin. All three of them are ramping up capacities of local manufacturing in India. So it's an evolving situation, but yes, traditionally from 100% to today, 45% is the kind of journey we have seen in last 3 years. And as the domestic ecosystem is, or the manufacturing capacities are further getting improved, we believe that government's intent of allowing close to 30-odd% of import should be sufficient for the industry to meet its requirement for the next year.
So, sir, for EPAC, the current sourcing will be 50-50, import and domestic?
No, for us, roughly in line with the industry, 60-40 kind of, 60% domestic and 40% import.
Okay, and so the vendors will be highly JVs and all for the domestic compressors?
So, domestically, we have four aircon compression manufacturers, Hailey, and then GMCC, which is a Midea company, then Daikin and LG. So these are the four established custom manufacturers for the aircon compressors in India today.
Right, sir. So my second question is regarding the PLI reversal. Like you highlighted that the entire 56 crores we were eligible, but we haven't taken any of that into the FY26 results. So my question is, though we are eligible, we haven't taken, or is it that the entire 56 we couldn't take this year?
So against that, yes, you are right, 56.5 crores was the eligibility for us to receive in the financial year FY25-26, of which we had accrued 32 crores in the first 9 months. And in quarter four, because we have we found that there is certain shortfall in terms of the growth which was required to be achieved, hence we have currently reversed the 32 crores which is recorded in first 9 months, and we are still evaluating with the agencies on the applicability and qualification. So this is something which is still under discussion or under evaluation by the DPIIT and the concerned agencies, and hence we thought it's prudent not to currently recognize it and do it only when we are confident or the auditors are able to allow us to recognize that kind of an incentive.
Okay, so sir, there is a chance that we, in the subsequent quarters, we might realize this PLI.
We will ask or we will advise a caution in before making any such commitment. So we will still want to wait for another quarter or so before we get the confirmed intent from the agency on this.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rabindra Naik with Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Please go ahead, Rabindra.
Yeah, so thank you for the opportunity. Sir, actually I have seen that in the quarter, YOY basis there is a 700 basis point decline in the gross margin. And in a QOQ, there is a 300 basis point decline in the gross margin. So, can you please highlight what is due to the mix and what is due to the cost inflation? If you can quantify it, it would be helpful. And how the things are going to be in the coming quarters?
The gross margin has not been reduced. On which basis you are saying that gross margin has been reduced? There is a dip in the EBITDA margin. We have already explained. On what basis you are comparing? You are comparing on a quarter basis or yearly basis?
Quarter basis, I am talking about. Quarter basis. What is due to the cost inflation and what is due to the mix? Because we have increased the component and also the durable mix better as compared to AC. What is the due to the decline in the gross margin due to the mix and what is due to the cost inflation?
But there is no major dip in the gross margin on quarter-on-quarter basis.
Mr. Ravindra, actually the gross margin have been fairly stable across all the four quarters and Y-on-Y and Q-on-Q basis both. So, we are not clear with the question. Yes, any fluctuation in terms of EBITDA margin is definitely visible, but gross margins are largely consistent.
I am talking about the sales minus the cost of material and purchases. That is the gross margin I am talking about. Last year it was 16.3% and this year it is 15.1%. Quarter to quarter basis from YOY 20% to 13%. That is what I am talking about.
1%.
Mr. Ravindra, yes, what you are highlighting in terms of numbers is correct. So typically if we look at quarter four would be there, the margins would be slightly better because of certain year-end TOD discounts what are received in the end of the year. So that is a small insignificant amount, but yes, that impacts to the extent of 100 basis point or so every year.
Hello. Hello.
You are comparing quarter four year-on-year quarter.
Yes, even the quarter three also. I'm talking about quarter three. Quarter three it was 16.7%. It has gone down to 13.3%. Okay. Anyway, we'll take it.
What I'm saying that as MD Saab has already mentioned that we have taken the reversal of the PLI amount in the quarter four, which we had accrued in the first 9 months.
So, Mr. Ravindra, to answer your question in simple manner, in the previous quarters, the accrued PLI increased the revenue and hence that kind of inflates slightly the material margin what is seen, which is because the PLI income is 100% material margin. So, because that has been reduced in the current quarter, hence the impact is there. Net of quarter on quarter, it is normalized. If we see all the four quarters, it will be similar.
Okay. Thank you. And sir, what is the current year debt level and what is the capital expenditure for 27?
Current debt level is around 700 crore, which includes a term loan of rupees 200 crore.
What to expect in the FY 27?
27, it is not like that it will go up, but there are some plans as already mentioned in the CapEx. So there could be some payment of the term loan in the current year and there might be some increase also. practically it will be at a near term, it will be around 700 crore rupees only.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Abhijit, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So I have a question regarding the inventory. I think it is around 837 crores. How much of that inventory has been diluted until now?
So, Abhijit, thanks. Yes, rightly said, the inventory level as of end of March was close to 800 crores. And as I mentioned in one of the earlier questions, it was largely because of the increased inventory levels, especially for compression for which the BIS was expiring in April, mid of April. So yes, we had certain elevated inventory at the end of March, which as the order book and as the execution of orders in April and May continue to be very strong, is getting depleted very fast. Exact numbers in terms of the current inventory to give at this point of time, but we can definitely, what we are trying to say is that inventories have largely normalized both in our system as well as in the trade. So at both ends, we see inventory levels being normalized, and end of this quarter, we believe that our overall inventories would be in line with our earlier quarters or similar quarters in the previous years.
Okay. The next question is regards to the compressor issues. I understand the government of India wants to push the production of compressors in India and local sourcing. That is the objective of the government. And the total AC market, the challenge that the compressor guys are also talking about is that 60% of the sales of the entire AC happens between, in one or two quarters, right? That is like the problem that is there. Are you guys looking at anything in regards to the compressor side? Because that is an opportunity that is there, which is presenting itself. So just wanted to understand on that regards.
Abhijit, I think this is something which we face on a daily basis. Compressor manufacturing definitely had been one key opportunities for the Indian manufacturers in terms of improving localizations 2 to 3 years ago. Today, in terms of the current context when we place ourselves, there are two things. One, already we have the two major global powers, both Haier and UMC, present in India with large capacities. Each one of them almost close to 7.5 million, and the other putting up a capacity of almost 10 million. So that's the kind of capacities they have already put up or committed to put up in India in next few months or quarters. And it's a highly technical item, wherein we definitely feel that no Indian player, even the large players in India, don't have the capability to think of putting up it alone. So no, we are not evaluating getting into compressors. We want to focus on our core competence and the customer risk concentration reduction and the product diversification, what we have, the path on which we are currently following. We believe that this is the journey which will take us onward and forward, and we will continue on this journey, which will definitely help us improve both our asset turn, improve our ROE, ROC, and leverage on the investments which have already been committed by us.
Thank you. Participants, in the interest of time and fairness to others, please restrict yourselves to 2 questions. For any more questions, you may rejoin the queue. Our next question comes from the line of Siddhant Mehra with Tusk Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, just one last question. So we have started the sales from the Hisense plant of the 7 lakh capacity.
Yeah, so then so the plant became operational in last week of March, around 30th of March is when we started operations and we started manufacturing the Hisense air conditioners. And yes, as we talk today, the commencement of both manufacturing and supplies is ongoing.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Aryan with InVed Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My question is on the Pago JV. So I look at the losses the JV has incurred this year.
Sorry to interrupt, Aryan. I would request you to be a little louder. Thank you.
Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
So my question is on ePower JV. So if I look at the losses, it has doubled this year, and we are doing a capex of almost 100 crore for this JV, and has provided a loan of almost 23 crore. So just wanted to understand, like, when can we expect this JV to break even? Because when I see the history of this JV, it has not been, able to generate profits for the quite 2 years. So what gives of the confidence in this JV will be able to break even next year?
Thanks, Aryan. So regarding the JV company, Ipavo, yes, the total investment today currently stands at almost 100 crores, and we are happy to share that a new greenfield manufacturing facility for Ipavo had been set up and has become operational since end of quarter three. So it started mass production in January, and the Q4 revenue and Q4 scale-up of operations has been extremely encouraging. And taking a cue from the type of ramp-up which has happened in the greenfield facility in Bhiwadi for Ipavo, we are very confident that now this FY 2027 being the first full year available to the company, with its renewed and ramped-up capacity of roughly 3 million motors installed per annum, the overall ramping up, the overall customer approval and the product development, whatever has been done in the previous two years, is now started showing results. And the management of both the companies is very confident that this year will be a significant year of ramping up, and from FY 2027-2028 onwards, we'll definitely see this company in green.
Got it. Got it. And sir, on the incentive side, I just wanted to understand next year, what is the PLI incentive can we expect to accrue? And second, on the IPS incentive as well. So next year, can we expect more incentive to come? Because now we are eligible for Rajasthan incentive scheme as well.
Okay. So these are two different things. In terms of PLI, FY 2026-2027 is the last year of PLI incentive, and the company is eligible to receive an incentive of 60 crores, for which there were two criteria, CapEx of 300 crores, which has already been completed successfully. And now the second criteria is in terms of achieving the threshold increased revenue, which is something which will be under scrutiny, and we will request to look at numbers without PLI, especially considering the experience of the last year. So this year, the company will be extremely careful before recognizing any such PLI incentive, and we will doubly ensure that the path to achievement is sure. And that's on side of the PLI. And in terms of the turnover linked incentive receivable on our investments in Bhiwadi, that is the phase one, which was applicable for next 10 years, and there is still another phase of PLI to be applied for the CapEx, which was then subsequent to 2022, because the current entitlement certificate is the investment which was completed as on February 22, sorry. So, post February 22 till date, whatever investments have been further done, we are still to make an application for that. So yes, this is something which is for next 10 years, and this is the revenue which is related to manufacturing, which is done there, will be something which we will keep on accruing for the next 10 years.
Just wanted to understand, like, without PLI, what should be the gross margin and EBITDA margin we should expect? And the next year, Rajasthan, which is PLI. So it is based on turnover, right? So just wanted to know, we are expected to have, let's say we are not able to get PLI, like this year, but Rajasthan incentive we will be able to get in the next year, because this is based on turnover, not on incremental sales.
So, Aryan, this is our experience in last, especially FY 2026. We again advise a caution before recognizing any incentives, so we like to keep all government incentives separately and look at the core company performance. Having said that, we expect the normalized metal margin of roughly the historical 13%-14% is what has been the historical margin, which will then slowly and gradually start improving as we improve our capacity utilization, especially for the Hisense facility and the increased capacities in facility. So 13%-14% gross margins and around 7% of EBITDA, normalized EBITDA, is what the company is expecting and to improve. Any incentive, both in terms of PLI or TLI, should be above it.
Thank you. Thank you, and best of luck, sir. Thank you for replying.
I hope that answers most of the questions.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Adhru Srinivas, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Hey, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, RSE sales also is very low this quarter. Previous year, you mentioned some seasonal winds or rainfall happens. This year, El Niño effect is there, and more sales are happens. still in RAC segment is also very low compared to peers. Why? And one more thing, what about this MOU with East India Technology Private India Private Limited? There we enter into any other new segment, any profitable laptops or mobiles. Is this MOU affect us like not entering into other segments, or we can break and we can go also? And I want to know these things. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Mr. Srinivas, two questions. First, around the RAC. So, yes. Compared to the first three quarters, wherein we saw a degrowth of almost 33% in RAC revenues, so for the first three quarters, if you see, the RAC decline was close to 33% for us, whereas in Q4, there has been some recovery and the degrowth is only 25%. So, we have tried to recover the overall AC sales, and like you rightly said, the El Nino is something which has been impacting the overall globe for the last couple of years. So the climate conditions have been changing and have been very uncertain. So yes, the current heat wave we see is something which is impacting the current quarter or the current season. The brands or the market was very cautious because of the elevated inventories which was there in the trade for April, May, June in 25, and by Feb, March is only when the industry was able to liquidate those inventories. So that puts us in a very healthy situation as of now as an industry, as an EPEC. We see that inventories are normalized and we see a growth for the current quarter. In terms of MOU with East India, that is largely related to manufacturing of electronic components, which currently is not one of the core strengths or core focus areas for EPEC Durable. Our journey and our investments are aligned towards ODM of home appliances, SDAs, LDAs and the other components as you see. So there is no direct conflict of interest with that as we see, and the management at EPEC Durable has liberty to get into any new product categories even if those are under the purview of East India whenever we want. So, but anyway, those categories are not currently under our radar to, we are currently focusing, as we have been sharing, on the ACs and the small and large domestic appliances and ODM business. So that is the focus and that is where our investments have been committed and we would want to leverage on those investments only. So we want to keep our focus on the investments what we have already committed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks.
Yeah, so thank you all the participants in this earning call, phone call today. And I hope we have been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. And also thanks to ICICI for hosting the call today. So once again, thank you everybody.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.